Right, right. What's up, everybody? This is Joe.
Gio.
Ed.
From Pissing Razors. Pissing Razors. And you're watching Aftershocks TV.
TV, baby.
Aftershocks TV, thanks to everyone for tuning in once again to another episode. As we got a special one for all you New York hardcore fans this week, as I'm honored to chat with a legendary figure from the scene. You all know him as a longtime ex-bass guitarist from the Mighty Madball, and he's here today to talk about his new band, Smoke AD. It's a pleasure to have with me, the one and only Hoya. What's up, Hoya?
What's up, man? Good to be on. Good to be on and talk some crap.
Hell yeah, man. Always, yeah. Always, man. Well, let's get to it, boy, man. Smoke AD.
Yeah.
The new supergroup, man. Via Con Dios, the debut EP.
Yeah.
From the hardcore supergroup, man. I mean, it's got yourself, obviously. It's got Sean Martin, ex Hatebreed, Twitching Tongues. And of course, one of my all time favorite vocalists, Ezek from Crown of Thorns and Scarhead, man.
Hell yeah.
Comes out May 7th, man. So, I mean, this is obviously your first release since you left Madball last summer. So, I mean, this has got to be, I mean, musically, man, this has got to be the heaviest shit you've ever done, I think, man. Would you agree?
Absolute, hands down, you know, and that was the plan, you know. You know, I was always the crossover guy, the metal guy in the band, you know. I always, that's what I brought to Madball when I played. But obviously, you know, Madball comes from the pure, more towards the punk side of the hardcore thing. Mm-hmm. There was so much you could push it. I pushed, throughout the years, I pushed it as much as I could. Mm-hmm. But no, but this is, you know, my roots was always, I was always about groove and I love thrash. And obviously I'm a hardcore guy too. So with this band, it was my chance to do whatever I wanted, anything goes. And I chose to do it with people, not only that my close friends, smoking partners, but also I'm fans of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I knew would be perfect. And these are guys, not only I'm fans of that, we love to create. So I was excited to see what was going to come out. You know what I mean? And I'm psyched on what came out. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, man. Well, you should be. Like I said, it's a kick-ass record, man. And so this has been something now. Obviously, you said you've probably been thinking about, I guess, doing this for a while. What, did you start writing any of this while you were still at Madball? Or was it after you left where you just had the time and you were like, you know, I could do this, what I want to really do now on my own?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I had some of it during it. Yeah, you know, okay. It was already, you know, stuff. Not, you know, again, with Madball had a certain, I tried to keep a certain style for whatever album we were doing. And, you know, there was always kind of a concept in that way. I already had these other songs that I wanted to do and I started putting together and just figuring out when I was going to do it. Okay. I knew that's where I was going to lean towards. You know, I wanted to put these other bands together because I had visions. And with Madball, what wasn't being as busy as I needed to be. So I knew, okay, I need to be more busy for financially. And also, you know, I got to be more busy. I just need to be more busy. It's how I work. And I said, let me put this together. You know, now's my chance. You know, we got one life, you know, to live. And I had too many ideas. And E always used to tell me, when we're going to do a band, when we're going to do a band, you know? So it was perfect. Cause even where he's at, you know, that guy could live in a studio. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He loves it. And that's what I wanted to do. I basically wanted to make, I'm lucky to have friends that are talented. And I'm fans of their bands and they're also my good friends. I wanted to get special forces to do this. So I didn't have to, I wrote the songs and I put this and that. Sean produced the track for the industrial track, but I wrote all the lyrics and all the other stuff, but it was more like, this is what I got. Now pass it through your hands, Sean, put your things to it. I ain't micromanaging none. It's all a vibe, a feel. You know, it ain't about, it's my song, your song. It's about, let's kill this shit. You know, let's make a dope track and get people interested in something new. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, man. Well, yeah, you just bring it up, man. You said getting Ezek on board with you. I think the last time that, I think you guys did anything together was that Scarhead EP, right?
About 30
years ago, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I filled in for Scarhead back in the day. And, you know, he always wanted to do something. He's always, you know, and again, I was so, when I do something, I go full blast. So I was doing the whole Madball thing. And then, you know, when I decided to move, I needed to know, like, yo, my next thing is going to be full blast. I need people who are going to be full blast. And I knew E was already on that tip mentally. I know, you know, that's my brother since we're little kids. Mm-hmm. And I never seen him this focused. So I was like, okay, now's my time to get him and be like, okay, let's really buckle down. Let's just live this music shit.
Nice.
You know, and we had a blast, man. And again, I'm psyched on the music. I'm really excited again about writing music.
Hell yeah, man. Well, and that's the thing too. With him, man, you know, it's like I always said that he'd be a fucking great metal vocalist, man. And that's what's great hearing on this record. Not only, like you said, is it heavier than Madball, you know, but you brought, but also hearing him singing, you know, metallic straight, you know, all the way through, man. I think that's what also stands out on this record too, man.
And I'm glad you said that, because that was something we worked on, because we know everybody expected him, because he does a lot of rapping, that he's going to do rapping. And I made it a point that he wasn't going to rap, because I love hip hop, but this isn't in a hip hop band. And I wanted, you know, I had a vision on how this was. And he's done that screaming style. And I pointed it out in old songs. I said, I want that Ezek.
Nice.
You know, and so when I put lyrics together, I had all these lyrics, I would lay him down, show him, and then say, okay, now you go do your lyrics and do the E on it. But I knew it would be with me producing the lyrics with him, it wouldn't be his typical cadences that people were used to. And I think it worked where people were able to see, you know, a different range of him in a good way also, you know, like a different side of him. And I think he sounds great. I'm psyched, man. I'm really psyched on what he did with, especially with the time we had. We didn't have a lot of time, you know.
Fuck!
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, man. Now, of course, we can't talk about Smoke AD without getting to a little discussion about all things cannabis. I mean, so talk about, you know, like you said, you guys are smoking partners and so forth. I mean, talk about your guys' relationship when it comes to, you know, when it comes to marijuana with each other. I mean, it sounds like that was sort of, you know, almost, like you said, part of the impetus or the, you know, bringing you guys together. It's pretty much what kind of brought this whole thing together.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. You know what it was? You know, we're all friends, and me and Sean are all Blaze part of E, obviously, too. You know, we all grew up, you know, playing together, and the Smokers, hey, let's get together. So we knew who we were. Now the band just called for a guitarist and a singer who happened to be my old smoking partners kind of thing. Nice. What happened was I have a show that I'm shopping now that I worked on for a while. I got one of the episodes up right now. It's called The Heavy Collective. Mm-hmm. It's a travel cannabis show where I went to a couple different cities. We did Denver, LA, New York. I forgot where else. And we go to the Big Willie dispensary, a little dispensary, and then we hit local businesses and maybe a record shop or a show.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? Oh, and, you know, all the rappers had these type of shows. We say, yo, we need some for the heavy music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I got that now. I'm actually going to be releasing it hopefully this summer. You know, we're going to edit some stuff up and awesome, get some sponsors on deck. It's really cool. And I said, yo, you know what? This is how I'm going to present my new band. I'm going to write the title track, which was the first single we did called Smoke AD. That's why the lyrics are about smoking. It's really it's a tongue-in-cheek song, but it's really about that. It's a title track for my cannabis show. So I said, we're going to write it and then introduce the new band as We're the House Band for Smoking Word TV.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice, man.
And then got the single, and then I was able to get a deal. They gave me my own little label where I was able to go back in the studio. And boom, we recorded the other new four tracks. I had some, you know, we collab, you know, talking like the Vi Con Dios, the video we just dropped today.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a fucking ministry tip. We always wanted to do some industrial type shit. Sean has, you know, he's a sample guy. And me and Sean talked about, yo, let's do one of these, you know, ignorant, Ezek, you know, breakup song, real ignorant, real 101, like anthemy, just barking a raw emotion of I don't fucking want to be with you kind of shit. Mm. And write a song that has a pulse but has some flavor. And Sean knows, you know, we knew. I gave you more explanation than I gave Sean, put it like that. Because Sean was like, I got you. We know. And we put the song together, and, you know, I wanted to show a lot of vibes on this. I plan a Smoke AD show is going to be a vibe, you know. That's the plan, you know.
Very cool. Yeah, no, when I heard that song first, man, I got to say, it threw me a little bit out of left field. It threw me a curveball. I was like, wow, wasn't expecting this, man.
Yeah.
It kind of brought me back to, like, the 90s, man, like, you know, hanging out to Limelight.
Building. Right? And that's the influences. I loved Godflesh. Not that we're playing that, but we were around for all that. And it's connected to sampling, and we love hip hop. Now we love, you add guitars, dope. You can make a, you know, that's all up our alley. So, and I wanted to do exactly what it did to you, was take you for surprise and also show people Smoke AD got no box. You don't know what we're going to do next.
That's good,
and
man.
That was the plan, that. You know?
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. Well, let's talk about another track too. The Codes We Chose, man. That's a killer song. I mean, it's really got obviously that metallic beatdown style, but and lyrically, it's got, you know, that New York hardcore mentality when it comes to that approach, just honest and forthright and a message, man. Talk a bit about that track, man. What influenced you both musically, you know, musically and lyrically in terms of what you were going for with that one?
Yeah, you know, definitely I can honestly say all the lyrics, you know, were from my heart, you know. You know, the older you get, you know, life, you know, you see life, the you know, things that you never expected. You know, and then you learn about people and experiences, and that song specifically, you know, I learned, it almost sounds like I'm talking about somebody, but I'm almost giving myself a pat on the back by letting you know that you ain't built like me, because whoever may think I'm talking about, they know who I'm talking about because you're thinking it. And that's what it's meant to be. If you think I'm talking about you, that's who I'm talking about. And people who know me, I take, in anything I do, I take pride. I got a big mouth and I can't hide. So I'm in your face. I'm always around, easy to find, but that's how I live my life. And I learned the older I got, not everybody's like that. So And, you know, again, these songs just came out. I didn't sit to think of a theme or whatever. I just let it rock and it came out, you know?
Yeah. Awesome, man. Awesome.
And I love the track. It's really, I'm psyched on that track. I think it was a good representation of, like, that's the essence of what Smoke AD sound is right there. That track, you know, I think as a whole, like it I all is, but you know, we could take it everywhere, but that has a little bit of everything, I think, you know?
And sonically, man, I mean, like I said, the record sounds great. And obviously, you got, you know, one of the best guys in the biz, man, Zeus. I mean, who's been, I know he's been working with you and Madball for years. And he's obviously worked with Sean and Hatebreed. And I mean, what's great about him, man, is he can not only just do hardcore stuff and heavy stuff, he does like Queensryche and everything. Sanctuary, oh, everything, man.
He's I mean,
what is it about him that just makes him just a beast in the studio?
I consider him a friend. And not only that, I always loved his sound. And not only that, he knows our bands and our history. Mm-hmm. And he takes pride in being the guy that says he was the steroids for those bands, not the guy who destroyed their sound or changed it, which always was the right approach, I think. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he always wanted to bring out the best of the band. He loved all our bands. And I consider him a friend. Mm-hmm. And he's so part of the project, I think you can even hear it sonically. Like, I got for me, that's $1 million production. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That,
yeah.
Like, I, you know, it was beautiful. Everything I could have asked for. You know why? Again, his trust. I don't micromanage. I ain't like that. And I know what he could do. That's why I got him. And he also knows what we're about. And it was that, like, it was for the love of, let's make this project happen as friends, as a group. And boom, we got some shit here. Let's do this.
Nice.
And overall, man, I honestly, it was one of the best experiences I had musically, just in music.
Really? Man. Oh, yeah. Nice, man. That's awesome.
Great for me. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, you know, just speaking, I'm just, you know, I mean, this has hit me the other day, man. I was sitting there speaking to you and Ezek, you know, in about 3 months, it's going to be 29 years. July 29th, 1995. I don't know if you remember that off the top of your head, but that was when you guys played, Madball played Coney Island High for the New York Hardcore documentary that was being filmed.
I remember it because I seen the footage, but I don't remember. Okay. We played a bunch, but I could kind of remember-ish. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah, it was, well, I mean, that was a magical night for me, especially as a fan, and just, it was also hellaciously fucking hot that night. I remember suffocatingly hot, man.
James DeJohn. Yeah, I remember a bunch of Stabby. I remember that. I think I remember that.
Yeah. It was crazy, man. But, you know, I mean, that was probably one of my most new, you know, if not the most New York, you know, memorable New York hardcore show, just because of the buzz in that place, and, you know, it was the first time I saw Crown of Thorns and I fell in love with Deb that night. But to me, like I said, I mean, to me as a music fan, I was like up there from, you know, watching game six of the Mets at 86, man. That was just a really memorable night. But I mean, you know, what I loved about it was such an intimate show. You know, I mean, there's so many people on the stage. I mean, obviously you can't do that anymore, but it was just so infectious. It inspired a lot of people like myself. You know, I started a hardcore label out in LA, you know, a handful of years later, I signed the band Count Time. I put their first record out.
Oh yeah.
I signed a band, Gordon Try. Yeah. You know those guys, right? Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I mean, to me, you know, I look at today's hardcore scene and just the music scene. And I wonder, you know, it's obviously a lot difficult for, you know, you don't have the venues anymore. Like behind me, I got Castle Heights right there in Queens, you know, I mean, places like that just don't exist anymore for these younger up and coming bands. I mean, what do you see? I mean, just over the years, especially over the last maybe, you know, handful of years, 10 years or so, in terms of the youth with hardcore, you know, I mean, I know there's obviously a ton of bands out there, you know, but just for a lot of venues are closing down in all these cities. You know, I live right outside of Oakland now, out here in California. And man, so many venues closing all the time. You know, Chris from Powerhouse, he does his best to put on shows and everything, but it's tough, man. It's hard. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. I think the era of us depending on a lot of those key clubs to do our thing are over. Mm. And now, you know, social media, the internet, this is where you're going to get it. And now where it, they'll name some anonymous hall we never even knew had a show, and that's where the next bunch of shows happen. You know, it's not like those Castle Heights, a Seabees, a Pyramid, these, you know, the Crocodile Club that kind of were always there. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of done, because I always look at where they're having shows at and it's always somewhere new. Like a new venue or a venue that's not a typical like rock club or whatever. Sure. So it's kind of like, but I noticed, but it's packed. People seem like they'll show up. It doesn't matter where. Like it's a different, it's almost like, We would go to certain clubs knowing we're going to see a certain type of music. Now, the kids know ahead of time where they're going to hear that certain type of music.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, like back then we were like, Seabees, oh, it's going to be weirdo shit or some heavy shit. You know something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Roseland, oh, it's going to be a club. You know, if it was going to be, you know, a dance theory, it could be New Way, it could be techno or this. You kind of knew. Now people just go, okay, where we're going to go see this band. It doesn't matter venue. It ain't, you know, not in a bad or good way. I just think it don't matter to today's kid like it did with us. Like,
there you go. That's, I think, what it comes down to. Yeah. You know, like I say, I don't want to sound like this old guy. Oh, back in my day, but you know.
Like back then I could say, I was able to say, yo, where you at? Oh, Berkeley Square in the pound. Boom. Everybody knew. Now, since then, there's a billion clubs that are cool and have packed. But I used to love being able to be like, oh, okay.
You know, it's good. Yeah,
pinpoint it. And you knew what you were getting into. And it's cool.
No, totally, man. You know, speaking now, of course, of Queens and some legendary hardcore figures, you know, obviously last week we just lost a great one. You know, vocalist, frontman, of course, Eddie Sutton, Eddie Pompanio, Eddie Leeway. From the legendary Crossover Kings, man. You know, as a Queens guy yourself, I mean, talk to me about your, you know, either best memory of the guys in Leeway or just seeing them back in the day, the old school days. Ooh. Talk a little bit about that, man.
Everything you just said. One of my biggest influences, I saw them. Mm. One of the best shows I've ever seen was the Super Bowl when he had the fucking skeleton suit. He went up with a wireless to he was on the fucking balcony. It was, I never seen nothing like that. They sounded like a machine. You know, everything. I'm also happy that I got him on the podcast. I was also happy that in my later years, you know, I was never close. I just didn't know him that good as a kid. You know, I knew him as what's up. Always a super fan. As I got older, we became more cool with each other. And talking with him, we would stay in touch. He would hit me up, and he'd hit me up with certain, you know, not advice, but like, yo, tapping in, and we keep an eye. You know, I was happy to have this relationship with him. I used to tell him, OG, man, yo, you don't know. You guys are big fans. I told all those guys, like, my whole style, like, they brought, I was able to have swag in a thing that I thought couldn't have swag. A scene that I thought you could, it was about a mohawk and maybe some weirdo, you know, piercings. And I'm like, no, you could be this dude with the hat and have a bop, but still enjoy the heavy show. Okay, yo, that's what I fuck with. And why you think you have what we got, like what the swag and that type of flavor. That's Eddie Leeway. Rest in peace.
Hands down. Yeah.
Hands down.
I always said I think he was the best pure vocalist in New York hardcore.
Technique-wise, absolutely. Yeah, right. My favorite hardcore singer is Anthony Rawdeal, but Eddie, technically, he's a real...
Real singer.
I listen to him every day. In the before he passed a couple weeks, I hit up E. I go, yo, how dope is Leeway? I let it on random. And even the records I didn't like have dope shit on it.
Yeah. Those later ones.
Cool
right?
tracks.
Yeah.
You may say it's not Born to Expire, but it's still a cool track. Or, wow, he sounds good. Or, wow, that little part, man, the drums are killing it. I'm like, wow. And I was like, and I'm glad that I got to kind of have that little relationship with him at the end and tell him, yo, what an influence he was on me.
Yeah.
You know, because that dude was a fighter. And I think, I was psyched on letting him know that.
That's what I mean.
Like some dudes, I would be like, nah, I would not say to them. I was psyched to say because I knew he would see it for the right way and appreciate it, and he deserved it. That's an OG that I think didn't get the flowers he should have got for whatever be the reason, you know. But also, he didn't go begging for it, which I love.
That's true. Yeah,
you know. Good point. I think how he went out trying to make new music in the grind, and he's like, I don't expect no fucking fail. Let me get in there. I was like, yo, you got to salute this guy.
Man.
You know, a lot to learn from that guy. Rest in peace, Eddie. You know what's up.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, they're one of a kind, no doubt. He was definitely one of a kind, man. Well, speaking of smoke, like you said, mentioned before, Smoking Word TV, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You got your own video podcast you've been doing it for about 3 or 4 years now, right?
Yeah, podcast. Yeah, I actually had the podcast maybe more like 8 before the pandemic that. But what happened was technology was too complicated back then. We used to have microphones, and I needed my sound man to run in. Long story short, it was hard to keep up, but I always loved doing it. Then when the pandemic happened, I saw the Zoom thing came into play, and it was like a good way to bring it back and keep things relevant. And then ever since, I didn't stop, and then I built. You know, I said I wanted to do something like a sports center for heavy music. That's the hard corner where I was like, we could promote some shows, new bands, and whatever we have popping, you know, and jump that on. And then I do the podcast, and then just growing the channel. And the band, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, do what I love to do is make and create stuff. And I built a house where I could have all this stuff live in it. And people are welcome to come in anytime they want. You know?
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Yeah. You did an episode, it was a couple of years ago, I think it was, with Billy Milano, man. That was pretty classic, man. It's hard to get that guy on. Yeah. It's hard to get him to do those, man. So yeah. He did a really good one.
He's an old friend, and I was glad he does it because he's a special character, and he's a guy, like I said on the interview, I hated his guts at one point.
You were saying that,
and he fucking won me over, and I fought to hate him. I get it, though. I tell him, you know, I understand why people may hate because he's an abrasive guy, and people don't get it, but I see the wrestler in that, and I love wrestling, so I get it, so... But yeah, you know, again, I for me, it ain't my opinion. I bring people to talk shit. I enjoy, not even to start beef. I just like talking to people, you know, myself and finding out the questions I always had, you know, with some of these bands, like the little tidbits and shit, you know?
Sure, man. Yeah, absolutely. Well, so what are you going to be doing with the Smoking Word? I mean, how often do you put out an episode? Is it just when you get the chance to?
I was more on a roll to the layout of this EP was, and I kind of got a little caught up with stuff. We were putting out a podcast every week, every 2 weeks. And then the hard corner was every week. We would go on and drop a weekly show and whatever. Now, every 2 weeks or so, I got everything recorded and laid out for the EP. Now, we're coming back with more consistent You know, show times and all that, because I got a lot of guests and the stuff with the show I want to do also, like, you know, be able to bring live guests into our Hard Corner show and have them tap in from the shows and let people know, you know, again, what they're doing and try to promote their brands. You know, I'm trying to make a springboard. If I can help somebody bounce their shit off me, if I got to bounce something and they got something that could help, boom. You know, that's how we wins in the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's all we're trying to do. You know, make a little a network of people doing it. You know,
that's sweet, man. That's awesome, dude. Yeah. Well, in terms of now the EP, man, what are you guys going to do now in terms of playing shows? I mean, you're going to play like some local shows here, some festivals. What's the plan?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked. You know, the original plan was like, yo, we'll take in. Eventually, we're going to start playing. Fuck that. We playing everywhere. You know,
you
that's
are.
The plan.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You know, right. Obviously, Sean's our Nomad member. That was the thing, because we know he had Twitching Tongues and Umbra and they just drop records. So Sean will be popping up, but we got something in the works. I'm coming with a machine, like, all to take people's heads off. And the plan is this summer, we're going to be everywhere. And the plan is to take it overseas, to take it everywhere. This is a real band. It ain't a project.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but we, you know, we weren't expecting to be this active this soon, but we want to be this active this soon because we have a lot of opportunities that are coming our way and we're ready. We're so psyched that we want, like, yo, we want to do this shit live and take advantage of life while we're still here to do it, you know?
Yeah, sure, man. I'm sure especially after, you know, going through that pandemic, it obviously kind of you get your mind thinking some, putting in a different perspective, I think, than before.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you, starting now a new band, you know, after you've been with Madball for 30 plus years, I mean, it was a kind of overwhelming kind of starting this at first, going like, man, like, where do I begin? How do I get there? Or did you already have sort of a plan in place, sort of at least in the back of your mind of what you wanted to do when you started this?
Yeah, I already knew how, you know, being around long enough, like, I knew what I had to do and how things work, you know, definitely, you know, I know I'm starting fresh, but again, I was like, you know, I was so ready for that. Like, I'm the type of dude that I look at murky waters and I say, yo, you know, want to jump in?
Yeah.
I'll go, like, but I'm down to look and I ain't scared, you know. My whole thing was, again, I don't do nothing unless I believe in it and full blast.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in myself more than anything, more than ever now in my life. So I said, this is what I'm going to do. I told myself this about the last 8 years of my life. Anything that that don't make me feel good and I have an option to not do it, I'm not doing it. And that's what I've been doing. Straight up, because you know what? All my patients go to my children. They're the only ones who deserve it.
Because
I get unconditional love from them.
Sure. No,
so
of
they
course,
deserve
man.
It. Yeah, they deserve it. Right. And otherwise, so it was a big step, but I didn't see it that way because, again, to me, it's like, I'm going to do what I do. I hope people like it. Yeah, you know, you're putting something, your bare self out there. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm not worried about you're seeing the real me if you like it or not. Because that's what it is, lyrically, musically. You never seen a real representation of myself than on these songs. I could say that.
Nice.
You're right. 1,000,000,000% right now, if people like it or not. So I'm cool with it if people don't like it. You know what I mean? It's me. And that's just some of the, it's real shit. That's for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone I've talked to, man, loves it, man. There's no one I've heard say anything but the positive things about it, man. And just, you know, quick, the title track, you know, tracking the name of the album, Vaya con Dios, which obviously it translates in English to go with God. I mean, just from a personal standpoint, you know, not to get too deep into it, but that's something I feel like, you know, that's gone on just in society, is everyone's gone away from God and not towards God. Is that something like a message that you have at all with the song, with the album,
like,
title?
It wasn't specifically that. It was a breakup song. So it was basically a way of saying, all right, yo, good luck. Go with God.
Okay.
But I don't mind people bringing that convo up. I don't mind saying it because I do agree with you that, you know, nobody's talking about church. We're talking about,
not religion.
We're talking about an energy. And I got my own encounters in life, and whatever you want to call it, got me to what I'm doing now. And on the strength of that, you know, again, not on some religious shit, but I always believe in God. It got me over humps. Yep. And even if God is a maybe, mm-hmm. guess what? That maybe is going to get you to tomorrow, and that tomorrow might be where you get saved. So right. people take that shit as, oh, they want a guy who's going to give them, is going to zap $1 million in their bank account or going to make them fly. No, no, mm-hmm. maybe it ain't that. Maybe you think that life should be given to you and you feel obligated for stuff to be given to you, but that's not life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
sure, man.
You know what? I lost a lot of people during the pandemic. I lost my whole family. I lost my mother, my father, my brother.
Shit.
And I never felt more alive than ever.
No.
So
that's good. Yeah.
You know why? For my family to rest in peace, they got to know I'm good on this earth. That's why I'm at the gym at 4 a.m. That's why I grind on my music. That's why my children are getting raised in my main focus. I need my family on the afterlife to rest in peace. So I got to kill shit on earth. I need to make enough noise on this planet that they can hear me up there. And that's the fucking plan.
Awesome, man. Love hearing that. That's my plan. I love it. I love it. Love that attitude, man. It's great, man. Well, for everyone out there, check it out now. It's coming out May 7th. Smoke AD via Con Dios. Like I said, there's two videos out there. Three singles, I think, now with the title.
Yeah, three videos.
Out, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. So it just came out. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Go check it out. So, Jorge, man, where should we send the listeners, the viewers, man, to go buy the album, buy some merch, check out all this stuff?
Absolutely. Listen, definitely, there's a pre-order going on for the vinyl. We got cool colors. We got a rust, a green, and a gold. Go to blackoutrecords.com, Static Records, and Cortex Records in Europe. They all got different colors. This is all family. This is all fam involved with this. We all are not only friends, are some of the people that contributed to the underground music for years from the record stores and so on. So I'm happy to be a part of it. But and go blast it on Spotify. Go blast the video on YouTube. Leave a comment. We need people to repost it. I want everybody to understand one thing. We don't have a machine behind this. We just have us and the people like you and people that where we could get on and spread the word. And if you love the music and you love the vibe, or you just love me, or you love ER haters and just want people to get to hate it more, pass it around. Passing it around means more than telling people you like it. I think, you know what I mean? It's going to get it around to more people, and we're psyched on it. We're very proud of it. And I'm psyched on my whole family, the whole Smoke AD family. And I'm shout out to everybody who's feeling it, because again, I want people to feel it. I'm doing it for people. Oh, yeah. I want people to be like, all right, we got a new horse in the race. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, man. Oh. Absolutely, man. Well, I look forward to seeing, hopefully, you guys on the road, man. Smoke AD via Con Dios. Everyone go check it out, man. And Jorge, dude, thanks so much for coming on and talking to me, man.
Thank you, bro.
And good luck with everything, man.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.